And welcome back to the Stream of Random podcast. It's me again, your host, Hacker Mike. So first of all, I want to apologize to you guys about the heavy breathing sounds. I realize I had my mic way too close to my head. And walking around and walking up hills is not conducive to hiding the breathing sounds. So I installed a hearing aid tool, which listens to the mic in real time. And I just did a mic check, and this sounds pretty good. I actually have the mic above my eye, on the side of my head, up and away. It's actually that far away from my mouth. And before, I had it right next to my mouth. So I guess you could hear like everything. So I'm hoping that this is gonna pick up better. So I'm sorry about the noises. I guess if you're still listening, you've gotten used to it. There's real-time sounds. Well, it's 4:30 something, 5 o'clock. I've been up for a while, hacking away. And I have some status updates to let you know what I found out. Okay, so first of all, there's a difference between RSS and atom, like atomic. So it looks like there's no real formal specification of the original RSS feed. Even though it's built on RDF, there's no RDF schema for it, it seems. But for Atom, there is. And the two are equivalent in some way, but slightly different. So I found an OWL schema that defines Atom. It was worked on back in 2006. And, he had references some stuff from 2004 from Euler Sharp. I'm having all these flashbacks from the 2000s. Yeah, my life was in a real upheaval back then. So, thank God I found Ariana. So, yeah, waffling. So yeah, people have their Christmas tree lights out, and it's really funny how people who have less money spend more money on Christmas tree lights. It seems to be like an inverse function. Or maybe people with lots of money don't celebrate Christmas. So we'll see. Doesn't matter. So I have been thinking a lot this morning and doing my experiments. I started to take the iTunes spec itself in HTML form and mark it up with RDFA and OWL. And then I realized, oh, well, it's based on RSS, but where's the RSS spec? Do I have to do that too? So luckily I found that Atom spec. So I'm going to dig a little bit deeper into this. It seems like the RDF in RSS has really gone the wayside. Anyway, we're going to bring back the geek stuff into it. And I'll tell you a little more. But this, Euler Sharp was replaced by Eye, and he rewrote it in Prolog, which is pretty damn cool. And I need to learn that tool. Prolog was one of the first programming languages that I learned, and I never fully mastered it. But it seems very powerful, what he's doing with it. And now that I learned Haskell, more I think I'm ready to go back into Prolog and really geek out. Maybe some of these logical things will resolve themselves for me. Yeah, people leave their cars running in the middle of the night. And it's pretty freaking cold here, let me tell you. I don't know how cold it is, but we have a clear sky with stars in it. And I feel alive. I feel blessed that I can go for this walk and record it. And there will only be so many recordings of this. There's only so many walks we can go on together. There's only so many podcast episodes that I will make. So we're going to make this one count. We're going to start by not breathing too heavy into the mic. That's going to have to be edited out, really. And we're going to try and speak clearer and louder. Yep. So, yesterday I listened to my origin story for the fungus. And, it's funny how we make everything human-centric. And, I think we have to take a step back from human-centrism. Because I think the joy of life is not human. And also our emotions are not human. I see that the dogs have emotions just like we do. They can't speak, but they use their eyes and their body. And they definitely try and tell me something. Even the chickens communicate in their own way. Even if they're not the smartest, they still work together as a team and they have this kind of groupthink. So we'll see. I think pack mentality creates a larger collective brain that people serve different functions. And maybe there is a network partitioning going on. If everyone does what they're good at and they work together somehow through the invisible hand, through some scheme, I think it creates a larger consciousness, a larger team effort. And I think that's also what we're seeing now. So, and I think what we're seeing now with the election is that this team effort is really pulling everything apart. There's really quite the opposite poles in this whole thing. There's no meeting in the middle. And it's kind of funny. It really is funny how things have gotten so bad. And we really do have a new form of aristocracy. The, a new form of aristocracy, those who control the big tech and those who are subjugated to it. And even myself, I'm able to control big tech a little bit more than other people. And I've held myself back. I really have. I have to think about why. I guess I have this whole thing for minimalism and not... I don't know. I guess part of it is being too cheap, not having the growth mindset, I guess. Part of it's a rebellious nature. But it's never too late to build. And some people just take longer to blossom. Now I have to adjust this microphone. I'm going to move it down because it's really just in my eye, blocking my sight. So you're going to have a little bit more breathing sound. You're just going to have to deal with it until we figure out how to edit it out. And I'm sorry. We'll fix it in the mix. But we're trying. We're trying, really. And Carolyn Blaney was right. You have to actually listen to your own stuff and work on improving the things that annoy you. And that breathing sound really annoys me. And the long breaks. But, what are you going to do? And the thinking pauses. I was thinking if I just recited you a poem, that I wouldn't take such long breaks. Instead of just coming up with stuff on the fly, totally stream of random, I could actually just read you guys something. Or tell a story. But I don't know. I didn't do my meditation this morning, and I think we need to do that together now, really. But I'll first get some stuff off my mind, because that's what this is about right now. I really can't, I don't have anyone to talk to. I'm all alone. And this is my way of reaching out. It's like, if you really want to know what I'm thinking, here's your chance. But people don't really want to know what I'm thinking. They're busy leading their own lives, doing their own things. Why should they listen to me? What do I really have to say? Can I say it in an entertaining way? Or am I just being a clown for you to laugh at? A joker, a jester, a fool. But even the fool will become wise by his folly. And that's why the first card in the tarot deck is the fool. And so there's this system of Kabbalah, I'll just go from memory here, where you have the system of chakras, or points of energy. And the lowest one is the physical world, which is the 10th sphere, called Malkuth, or something like that. And then, right above it is the moon, which is number 9, Yesod, which is at the groin area. And there's a connection between the two, which is card number 20 in the tarot system, the moon, which has the two wolves on each side of a path, a scary path, baying at the moon. Now, if anything, this walk at night in the dark under the moonlight is like that path number 20, the card, the moon. Isn't that funny? And there's 21 paths between these 10 different nodes of this graph. And the straight path up is from the Earth to the Moon, and then from the Moon to the Sun. And the Sun is at the solar plexus. And then the... Let me remember the names. Number 6. It'll come back to me. And then there is the, so that's the lower spheres. And then there's 3 spheres at the top. The top one is Keter, or Kether, and it's the crown. It's above the head. And it's connected to the heart. Now the mind is considered the abyss or the void, or doth, the void of the mind. It's kind of interesting how that all works. And then on the right and left side, you have the different columns. There's 3 pillars, the center pillar I'm describing, and the right hand and the left hand. And they're all interconnected somehow. And they say awakening the Kundalini energy, or awakening the serpent, is bringing the energy up or down. So there's all these different exercises. I read a whole bunch of this stuff back in the day. That I do remember. And it's an interesting model. Now, you could say that the eye in the pyramid is the Keter, is the top crown. And, excuse me, just drinking some coffee here. Just thinking about it. Umberto Eco, in his book The Foucault Pendulum, described the point from which the pendulum hangs to be the Keter, or the top of the crown, the zero point. And the Foucault pendulum swings back and forth, but because it's heavy, it has inertia, and it continues to swing back and forth, but the Earth is spinning. And because the Earth is spinning, let me think about this. The ground moves underneath the pendulum. So the pendulum is basically swinging back and forth, and the Earth is spinning underneath it. And it appears that the pendulum's moving, but really, the Earth is moving. Isn't that weird? I guess if you rode your bike fast enough and long enough, you would have a similar situation. So that's kind of a crazy idea, that it's actually suspended and it's outside the Earth's gravity. No, I guess if it's heavy enough, if it's light enough. Okay, I don't know enough about this. I'm just gonna drop these things on you. This is what I know. That's all I know. I have to have a certain amount of humility. I can't know everything. We're also going off our memory here. But memory is more interesting, I think, than just reading text from a book or reading it from a screen. And it makes more for consumable ideas because they're organically saved in my brain. There's some memory structure, some thought process here. I'm not just reading text. These guys are talking about these fake podcasts. It's like, well, this podcast is the realest. Let me tell you, we are so real. It's like a reality show. It's raw shit. Raw shit. So, yeah, I'm not going to talk about everything I'm thinking of. We're going to have to skip over some topics to save the innocent. We're going to have to practice operational security and privacy concerns, you know. But I do want to talk with my full voice and not just kind of like talk like this. And a rasper, I'm going to talk with a full voice. Yeah, get some vibration, some vibrato going on. And I've been listening to this guy, V, the Romanian TV, V-E-E. People who have knowledge of the situation inform me about V as being a good source. And, there are some crazy things planned for the upcoming week and month with the election. And I'll tell you what, it's not over. It's going to be a spectacle. A spectacle. I expect a big fight. Trump is talking about... he stopped mentioning war in his tweets. He was on a Twitter storm yesterday, let me tell you. It's kind of interesting. There's this website called thedonald.win, and it's full of Trump supporters, and they have some amazing posts in there, some interesting things. And that and BitChute gives you all types of crazy stuff to look at. I love Crowell. I have a fascination for crazy stuff. Don't ask me why. It's also I don't like being surprised. I want to know all the conspiracy theories so no one can surprise me with one. It's like someone's going to be surprised, I want to surprise them. It's like, here's the theory of the fungus. Have you heard that one yet? So, I mean, maybe these... Okay, so we're going to just try and assume a couple of things here. Like, I've always been trying to pull myself out of this whole China thing. But I know for a fact... there is a communist thing. And we've documented it here on this podcast, and it's a really a main topic. And I've tried to keep myself from going completely crazy about it. Going rabid, because What am I supposed to do? I definitely don't want to put myself in danger. I've got work to do. I can't just go and protest. And what am I going to do there? Like, stand around in the cold? Get arrested? I'm standing around, like, I'm walking in the cold here. And if people really want to hear what I have to say, you know where to find me. It's like my voice is not going to make a difference there. Or anywhere, maybe. But, we do know there is a communist plot to destroy America. And those people are in America. And, the Frankfurt School, it started with them. And the Long March, and they have been working slowly on indoctrinating. Maybe this is just a step. And it is possible that Obama is working on it behind the scenes, or the people associated with him. Look at these deer. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 deer. Deary deer. I mean, it's plausible that there is some power structure, but it's also plausible that there's a power structure on the right that's also manipulating people. Now you could say, oh well, the ones on the right are our friends and the ones on the left are enemies of a foreign, being run by foreigners trying to destroy us. Wow, look at these stars, this is so amazing. We're spinning towards the sun. We're moving very fast. The sun rises in the east. And I'm walking towards the east. So that means I'm walking towards the direction that the sun is spinning, that the earth is spinning to. So that means I'm going faster to meet the sun. And the light I see in the sky is the sunlight reflected off of things. Coming over the horizon. It's pretty damn cool how it all works. And, you know, maybe there is a logical description of how the mind works, or there's all types of things like neuro-linguistic programming and so forth. But what I'm trying to get at here is I'm not happy with these calls to violence on any of the sides. And it's a shame that we can't work together. And it seems that politics is all about lying and obfuscation and power. And if we see it so clearly on one side, the other guys are doing it, how come we can't see that our guys are doing it? If we can say that these guys are lying to their people, how come we can't see where we are being lied to? Right? The Free Talk Live guys. They are pretty cool because they're like, they denounce all government. And don't, the one guy's like, I don't even bother with what Why was this guy walking around with a flashlight back there? The Free Talk Live guys are like, they don't follow any of the news about the politicians, and they say they're all liars and crooks. And, I don't want to go that far, but it's really the question of getting a certain amount of not being pulled into one side or the other, even though I would say I'm more conservative than progressive in terms of wanting to keep things stable in my life. I'm not looking for a revolution at this point. I can see how young people are. They feel oppressed. But we have to look beyond the system of people and political power manipulating us. And we have to think, why are they doing this? What's the game? It's like, hey, don't hate the players, hate the game. How's that sound? Don't hate a player, hate the game. And it's pretty crazy what's happening to people on the internet. Speaking of that, I need to back up my audio files off this device. And I think we're going to hit the 20-minute mark now, and we should do a cut, because I am recording in high quality. So we're going to do that now. It's 5:40 in the morning. Let's see. 32 minutes. That might even be too long. Okay, welcome back to segment two. It's 5:49 in the morning. We're expecting a sunrise soon. It's not windy. It's not even that cold. I have, let me just fix this cable here. I've got the long johns on, long thermal underwear, and sweatpants. Same for my top, so I'm bundled up, and I got these super thick gloves, the motorcycle gloves, so I'm rocking some protective wear, let me tell you. And I washed all my clothes yesterday. I'm so proud of myself. I ran the dishwasher, I washed clothes, I cleaned up a little bit, I took care of things, took care of business, I shipped some bottles. And post office comes and picks them up at your house. You don't even have to go to the post office. Just fill out a form, tell them to pick it up. And they come and they pick it up, and you get a receipt. So I'm pretty damn happy about that. Pretty damn happy. Shopify is a great system. They do a great job. They take care of everything. Now, we could create a more minimal Shopify, but even just the shipping mechanism is pretty damn good. And, it's funny how, I guess I could learn and do everything myself, and I should, because I'm in the business. But you got to pick your battles, and you can't do everything yourself. And at a certain point, you're going to have to pay someone to do something. So why not use a successful company to do it and share that cost with other people. Isn't that more economical? It's like, if they can serve me and a bunch of other people, that's cool. But if I'm going to do it for myself, I guess I could do it online. And this is where it would make sense if I could do it without extreme hosting fees. And that's kind of where we're getting at here. In reality, let's just think about this, kids. In reality, if you were shipping if you're buying shipping and selling an item, doesn't that all fit together into one transaction in some way? Like the customer orders something, and then we take that order and we buy shipping with it. Now, doesn't it make sense if we could attach all the information about that transaction to the original customer's payment as a data blob? Let's say on the blockchain, let's say, or have multiple blobs in the blockchain. But do we really need to have a whole database to manage orders? Or do we just need a blockchain? Like, can't this be a distributed app? That's kind of where I'm thinking right now. It's like, why do we need to run a server? Sure, you can run servers when you're mining. Let the miners run the servers. And they're being paid to. I'm sure a lot of other people have had this idea. I was just talking to Chicken Jar about cryptos. It's like he bought some cryptos with PayPal. I said, dude, that's, you don't even control that. You can't even send those cryptos to anybody. You can only cash them out. And you should get yourself a wallet. And then I said, the best is if you could sell fish for cryptos. Yep. And it turns out that the best marketing we did so far was the email. And what I want to do now is get all the emails of all the addresses of all the customers who bought from us and send them a letter. Physical letter and say, you know what, we have a special offer. Because I don't have the right to email them, but I can send them a postcard, I think, and say Merry Christmas. I mean, are they going to sue me for that? Did they consent to me sending them mail? I can send them one letter. I wonder what the rules are on that. We just have to check them all. Because Google puts in like bogus streets if you steal their data. They're like, look at this bogus data right here. You stole that from us. So, any whoosies, any whatsies. So yeah, let's get ourselves pulled together. Switch some topics again. We're getting warmed up here, let me tell you. We're reaching the university or the college. We're gonna do our normal walk, let's say. Just thinking about where I could go. I brought a mask with me today. I know I did. Maybe we'll stop by ShopRite as part of this walk. I'm not going to that Dunkin' Donuts, though, I'll tell you that. They haven't even responded to me properly. So let's find out what's happening with them. It's like McDonald's, they gave me a gift card when I complained. But Dunkin's doesn't really seem to have the resolution. Okay, my phone's beeping at me. Maybe it's someone from my family. I hope someone wants to talk to me. Let's put this on pause. All right. Well, gave my wife a call, talked to my son. That was pretty nice. And now we're back. Taking a different route today, just a different way. Trying some different things. Yep. So, yesterday I had fun. You know, I enjoy doing these walks and I enjoy doing these podcasts and talking to somebody. Oh my God. Even if it's trivial or stupid. And I can be smart as well. But maybe we can find a happy medium. Not too trivial. Not too geeky. Maybe more personable, huh? So I was reading through this description of the Atom System. And I mentioned this before. He wrote it in, I think, N3. N3 is a pretty crazy notation. And from the closed world model. And the guy in the I system, he just takes it to the next level. It's like logic being defined. And it would be great to have to be able to visualize these things or see how they evaluate. It's like those are small systems. That would be a great system to work on visualizing. Like these little nuggets. And it's probably very possible. And the other question is, if, the police. See, this is why I don't like walking on the main roads. The police drive up, they see me, and then they make a left. Go hide behind the fire station building. Like, oh yeah, we're just driving back here, right? Yeah, of course. And then they're gonna wait for me to pass and then follow me again. Or follow me, if it's possible. They might just be checking me out. Or, looks like the police, looks like he's turning around. Looks like the fire truck chief guy's coming out. It just could be at end of a shift as well. Justice or Trent? The guy just left the fire station. So, little things happening over here. Yeah, Foucault's Pendulum. That is one crazy, crazy book. Oh my god, there's so much ice on the ground. This road is just covered in ice. Whew. Okay, I made it. And he writes it from a perspective of these authors who get sucked into this conspiracy theory, and then they're slowly picked off and killed because they discovered the ultimate secret of the Illuminati, or the secret society. They thought it was a game, and they just came up with these ideas, and they fed it to the computer, was working on these permutations. I have to reread that book, or should read some summaries of it again, maybe the Wikipedia article or something. Like, there's got to be, like, a shorter way to understand it. Like, what are the key lessons? And Umberto Eco, he just, like, includes all these different languages. And he's such a well-read guy. You know, I guess including citations is kind of like a reading from the screen, though, or having clips. It's like pulling ideas in from other people as opposed to regurgitating them yourself. I guess part of it's also reinventing the wheel or not. Being well-read or not. And I guess I just need to read some standard books that summarize things and be up to date. I have so many books I never finished reading, oh my god. It's just that I'm so slow on some things. We're so bad in some things. Can't be good in everything, kids, let me tell you. But I am enjoying this walk, let me tell you that. I'm having a good time. Moving the legs, get my steps in. I look forward to these walks, I really do. The exploring, and I like the podcasting part of it too. And I think I'm going to go back and work out in the gym on my way home. They won't let me out for 4 months. I got to pay for another 4 months of this thing. It's like $80 a month because we have this whole family package, which we're not using. It just drives me crazy. So I'm gonna go in and use it. The thing is that I don't want to get used to using their equipment if I'm canceling it. But, I should really get used to using my own equipment. But for getting started again, it can't be that bad. I was doing it every day. I was in good shape until the COVID thing. And then I had to find myself. I had to find walking. which I really love more than going to that stinky gym with the annoying music and the weird people. Really. And wearing a mask while you're working out, that sounds crazy to me. Yep, I gotta talk louder. Use my full voice and not just the raspy that one, yeah. The vocal fry. Oh man. Oh man. Yeah, I've got my... It's funny how I slip into that voice. I don't know why, maybe it's because it's cold. It's my cold voice. Or my throat is full of stuff. So we need to come up with a clip for today, kids. First, we're going to check our time. This could be a 20-minute mark. Let's give that a check real quick. So another feature for the future podcasting recorder, 18 minutes. Let's just stop it here. But another idea would be I'd like to see the length of the recording and maybe even automatically rotate every so many minutes to create segments. That'd be cool. Okay, kids, it's time for segment 3. You might hear a little noise there while I'm getting this phone stuck in my pocket. Sorry about that. Here we go. Microphone is in place. Let's put my glove on. We've got some real-time shit going on here. Life is happening. So I got some shopping done at ShopRite. And I picked up some, what did I get? Oh, Philly cheesesteaks. Ever had a Philly cheesesteak? Or steak 'em? It's like a super thin sliced steak. And I found a great way to cook them in the toaster oven. You put a frying pan in the toaster oven, like one of those European style metal frying pans. And then you just cook it for 5 minutes in there or 10. Turns out real nice. And I bought some more shrimp because I messed up the shrimp yesterday. I overcooked them. So whatever you do, don't cook your shrimp for 16 minutes on steam in the Instant Pot. And then, what else did I do? Oh, I got lasagna and a sausage in onions that were on reduced. 50% off. So I'm all happy with that. Just listening to Podcasting Index. Yeah, and I'm getting all into this this whole thing. So the Podcast Index namespace is doing an RSS spec, and I'm going to create the Atom spec for it. And then I'm going to work on integrating all these different pieces, all these little file systems into one semantic web spec. And then we're going to work on embedding the content that's being talked about in the stream at different time periods to create presentations, like slideshows. It's like, why can't we put the slides in there? In the actual podcast, in the RSS, why can't we embed the slides? If it's SVG, and it's all that, it's like, what's the size limit on content? So we're going to figure that out. We're going to push these limits, kids. And eventually, it's going to be stream of consciousness, like brain upload link. Now, we haven't actually talked about what's going to happen after the brain upload link. So let's do some science fiction here. Once we have one brain link, why can't we have two brain links? Why can't we have a whole army, a whole team streaming in? Like, what would that even look like? What would be a world upload link look like? Like billions of light points. Like, when are you going to lose overview? I'm just thinking about the ant nest. What makes us different than ants, really? Societal insects. Aren't we all a little bit of a societal insect? In some fashion? Are we not just neurons in the Googleplex? Are we just not batteries in the Matrix? It's like an analogy, but quite a fitting one, I think. Yep, yeepers. Yep, yep, yep. And then we get the blog posts. It's like, well, we got a blog. What we really want is for WordPress to stop censoring us. But we're going to fix them. We really are. We're going to fix all of them. So there's these RDF extraction tools that will show you linked data and all that. And I'm going to come up with my own ideas and specifications and implementations for taking it to the next level. So I was thinking we have this Prolog program that does all this logical work. And how could we understand it better? And how could we mark it up so that the logic is actually implemented, let's say, in Mavo? Like, implemented in HTML and JavaScript, let's say. Like, what's really needed? How much of the Prolog is really needed? We're going to study this whole thing. I think what we need first is to do the trace, the metatrace, apply that to the Prolog. Metatrace. It's like metatrace is really what I've been talking about for the introspector for so long. And sorry guys, you can just turn this off now. I mean, I noticed that some of my best listeners aren't really listening to me recently. You might just turn it off after a couple of minutes. That's okay. It really is okay. Because some things I just gotta get out of my system. And this is my way of doing it. I gotta work this shit out. And you're welcome to join me or not. And I really think we can do a generic metatrace by observing the CPU. And I think that's the lowest level. And that was my original idea, to use just a CPU emulator. And why the hell not? If I ran the CPU emulator on a CPU emulator, and I ran the tracing of that, that not do it? Wouldn't that give you some idea of what's going on? The emulator of the emulator. Emulator of the emulator of running the program. It processes the data. I mean, Gödel is saying hi right now, you know? It's like, what would you actually see? The emulator emulating itself. Emulating a program. That's such a mind trip. But I bet you we could get a really good trace on what's going on if we did it that way. And what if we traced the tracing? I mean, these are just like recursive ideas that make your head explode. But how would that even work? It's like you're tracing the execution of this prologue program or some other program. And then it's dumping out all of its steps to like disk. It's this huge amount of data. And then if you are tracing the emulator who's running that emulation, it'll show you each register being dumped individually. So it'll give you an extra granularity. As to what pieces are running. It actually makes sense somehow. It's like, read this register and write that data to disk. It's just copying registers to disk or formatting them, serializing the contents of memory, loading instructions from disk into memory, executing them, saving registers, restoring them, copying data around. That's a lot of what it's going to be doing. Switching, decoding instructions, I suppose. That might be a worthwhile exercise. I can see a couple of weeks going into that effort. Or I could just learn Prolog again, read through the code, and annotate it. So the introspective way of attacking a program that I always follow is get the program to dump out its internal state. To introspect, core dump, not really core dump, but dump out the memory, dump out its execution, get it to turn on all the debugging, get it to flail around a little bit, and then study that output and look for patterns, inspect, and then use your visual cortex for determining what's going on. Now, when we're speaking, we're not using our visual, we're using our audio, and our logical minds. But I'm imagining all this stuff happening, so I'm using my imagination of my visual. How's that? I'm going off of memory here. And now we're just kind of serializing to disk, you could say. We're in some kind of serialization function. But I have looked at a lot of code over these years. I've studied a lot of stuff and made a lot of neural imprints of internals. And a lot of it's just wrapping of registers and variables and quoting of them in the end. So that's like making connections. And that's what we can do with these logical tools. You can make these connections. Do this pattern matching. And I need to really take another stab at it. And look how it works. The closed world model. With my new understanding and new tools and new power, new clarity of mind, even, I need to take another stab at the whole thing. Maybe we could break through into the world of logic. And I guess we need to also build it up by induction and show how this stuff fits together. So use our theories of meaning and build up things that are understandable, intuitively understandable, visually understandable, and connect those visual and intuitive understandings to the logic and build it up case by case to show thinking visually or thinking logically or thinking formally. We need to make those first level attachments, the beautiful, the aesthetics, the sensory sensations. We need to tie that all in so we can understand things better. And I think that will help me get past these things where I got lost before. Because I didn't have this model of aesthetics. I think it really is going to be key for understanding and communication. I guess we really didn't eat 10 chickens. We have so many eggs, we can't even eat them all. Got quite the chicken population going there. And I guess I have to eat more eggs, but I'm just so sick of eating eggs for some reason. I forgot that you could just get sick of them. Or maybe I'm just too lazy. But I really feel like I had enough. I should read up on that. What other people say about eating too many eggs and cholesterol. So now we're back to where we started. We're making a loop, figure eight. Hear that icy road again. Now the sun is up. My son was cute today. I'm like, you're halfway across the world. He's like, really? He's like, yeah, it's dark here. And then he's like, and I'm like, well, it's 5 hours away and there's 24 hours in a day. Half of that is 12. He's like, okay, Dad, that's enough. You don't have to go into so much detail. You don't need to tell me everything. I thought that was cute. But he's having so much fun playing with the other kids, his cousins. So that's great. Okay. So I think we got some ideas now. And, so now we've gotten into the execution and the emulation in the podcast. Oh, we've done that a couple times. So we're going to have one part of the podcast is going to process the other part of the podcast. One part of the podcast will process the other part of the podcast. So over here, we've got some code that we're going to run. And we're going to define structures in one section of this podcast. And then we're going to use those structures to describe things. And then we're going to reference between them. So we're going to say, oh, remember that, what we talked about over here? Oh, remember that podcast over there? We talked about that. Or I'm going to talk about this next. So Winston says, you don't want to surprise people. You want to tell people what you're going to talk about. So I guess it doesn't have to be so cryptic. We can just say, hey, we're going to talk about this next. And then you talk about it. And then you can summarize it or repeat the key ideas. So let's talk about that. Let's try it. Okay. So I'm going to tell you how this Prolog system works real quick. Prolog is programming and logic. It's from the 80s. First they built expert systems in Lisp. And then they built these, I think it was the French, created the system Prolog with backward chaining and queries, predicate logic. and you have different rules, and you had unification rules, and it would search through, you would declare different things, and it would search through there and find things. And I guess he's using Prolog and taking this language N3, or a variant of it, and he's using Prolog to he's using Prolog to interpret that. I guess he's folding it into the Prolog engine. So a lot of these tools, you can create your own language front ends onto the Prolog system, and you kind of fold the input data into Prolog. So I'm assuming that's how he's doing it. Where you kind of transform the inputs in such a way that they create a Prolog program, and then you let the engine solve the program. I think that's what you basically do also in a lot of different languages. You create these interpreters or domain-specific languages based upon the original language, which is powerful enough to do that. It's like, this is an exercise left up to the reader to understand. You're grabbing back down into the basic logic system, I think. So we're going to try and study that. And it would be great to be able to visualize these programs. And we're going to figure this out. We're gonna learn some more. Because back in the day, I didn't have that strong enough computers to do all this. I had lots of data. So if you can specify logic in N3, then, well, now this is where we get into this whole carrier system and the theories of introspector, so we can just pull it all together now. God damn it, I just filled up my disk, and I lost the last 20 minutes of what I was talking about, including me entering here. So I'm going to have to recap this whole thing before I lose the idea. God damn it. My chickens are upset because I didn't... Did she take what she wanted? Hold on. Listen, I'm gonna head home. I forgot something.
What?
I'm gonna head home.
Yeah.
Here. Did you want any of this?
Okay. Half the sausage.
Okay. Okay. Huh? Yes.
You can put something in.
Yes.
Yeah. I just wanted half the sausage.
Okay. All right.
With Archer, and she nailed him.
Oh, God.
Chewing on his neck.
Okay.
All right, love you.
Bye. Love you, too.
Want me to get back?
I got it. Okay, guys.
Have a nice day.
I'll be back.
All right.
So, I lost that whole humongous segment because my disc filled up. Because I'm recording at such high quality. So I'm going to try and rescue... And I repeated myself a couple times. So, I'll tell you where we left off. We have these cycles from the Earth to, let's say, the crown, from node 10 to node 1, where we invoke, we bring up information from outside. And it's funny, I think it goes through beauty, through Venus, on the upstroke. And then it goes down, comes down through Mercury in the downstroke, but it could be the other way on the Kabbalah system. But what I'm trying to say here is the information goes through the Earth, into the mind, through beauty, or communications, Hermes or Venus. And goes all the way up to consciousness and then comes down again. And in the hive mind, this is happening on multiple places. The question would be, who's at the top collecting all this information? Is it really the human brain, or is it the soul? Is it the fungus? Is it something? Is it God? And so the top of the pyramid. And we talked about how we can compile source code. Let's say I have an interpreter. If I have a compiler, if I have some program that's running on a PC, I could transform it into a web page that would run in just JavaScript, let's say on a lot of different PCs, where each one could do a little bit of the programming. And that's kind of how the ant colony hive mind works. Everyone's just doing a little bit, and they have different communication layers and structures where they're communicating with each other, sharing data. And I was postulating that that's the fungus that creates this structure. Has the master plan, kind of. The master builder. But then I also said that the fungus is just one level of the substrate, that there's different replication systems layered on top of each other. And the computer, I guess, would be another form of replication. That's not even human. I'm just adding that in there. But damn, I filled up my hard drive. My SD card is recording to the root file system, it seems. So that's bad. Now, we're going to go through this all again, okay? So we're going to repeat ourselves a couple times until I get this thing worked out. The question was, why do I say that writing down information is feeding the fungus? Well, I'm creating this podcast and creating this recording. I mean, that one actually got deleted, but I said it could last 1,000 years. I could be dead by then. And it would only come to life again after someone were to ingest it or to process it. It could be even a computer that processes this and brings it back to life in some way. Or it could be a person, or both. It could be a person running on a computer, or a computer running for a person. And I was also saying that most computer systems aren't autonomous. You know, they'll shut down. Most of the times it's people running computers. And that we can create a peer-to-peer system where we're sharing information. So we can run without a centralized server. And I also said that client server is very much, you know, a dichotomy. Maybe it's the aristocrats who run the servers, who own them. And the people, the peasants, naturally don't have servers. They're just time sharing on them. It's kind of like ownership. So, we can look at the Gödel function, right, as being turning everything into a number, and that number, well, I was saying that we turn into fungus and it consumes our bodies in the end, and that we kind of have an eternal life. So I was postulating that our souls are stored somehow in this fungus system. That's what we came up with before. Well, if we're leaving our body and becoming externalized, every externalized representation of information is in some way feeding the fungus. One, because it's dead matter. And two, because it can be consumed by people, or people created by the fungus, if we use that theory, to create this hive mind, I guess. I guess that's what we're trying to create here, is a hive mind of our own little society. And I was also saying I should look for people who are interested in psychedelics and play them some of my ideas. The tarot cards. Okay, I'm home now. The tarot cards are, the universe is coming down into Earth, and the Fool is going up, is the upstroke, to go up to the top. And the Moon is the one that goes from the center path. And that these cycles, they can jump between people as well. They could be the cycles of life as well. And by writing things down, we're passing information between generations, and that is trust transfer in the cycle of life. So that's feeding the fungus, basically. I mean, that's kind of how that connection goes. Okay. Well, I'm not going to publish this just yet in case I have some more ideas. I'm going to take off my jacket here. I'm really steaming up.